and that is obey the Lord. He knows what we need the most of. So we have an open altar policy. If you need to pray at any time, you come on down. Somebody will help you. That's the way we do things around here. But just obey the Lord. We've come here to worship the Lord God. I'm thankful for all the things He's done for me. I tell you, I'm raising both hands. And we just want you to open your heart to God's presence today. We want to invite Jesus here into His house. And we're going to start by singing a good old song, number 353. Let's all stand up. Sing the first and third verse.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Today we invite you to come and seek Him out today. If you have a burden, give it to Him. He knows what to do with those things. We appreciate Brother Matt. He had a good lesson this morning in the adult class, and we ask you to pray for him as he guides the service.
Well, there's still hope for the church to Lupton Drive. Our pastor will be back next Sunday. So looking forward. I told him I'm going to tell him when he comes back I resigned the first day. But we're looking forward to him coming back. They look like they're having a good time out there. And you pray for them. We certainly miss them, their presence here. Still felt when he is away, and still miss them. But you pray for their safe return the latter part of this week. Well, Brother Ronnie Childress used to say like this, we believe maters are maters and taters are taters. And you can't eat soup with a fork, so grab your spoon. Yeah. And we'll go to meeting this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Your blessings. We thank you, Lord, this opportunity we have come before you. I pray, Lord, you'll just bless in the service, bless the singing, all that's done. You'll be glorified. Bless the preaching. Bless Brother Jeff as he comes this morning and preaches to us. Thank you, Lord, for him, the mission work he's doing. Lord, we pray for our Vacation Bible School coming up, Lord, next week. I pray you bless them, the teachers, all that's involved. Lord, I pray you just have your will and your way in our service today. Lord, this service is to you, glorify you, and we'll be obedient to the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all, and I want you all to help this day. I want you all know these songs that we're going to be singing. We sang them for 50 million years, and so I want you to help participate and sing along with us. So I'll have a good balance here. It'll be like stereo. We have the audience and the choir, and it'll sound real pretty, and I'll go up to the Lord. So help us sing these songs. You all know them. All right. Lord bless us.
Winds around the globe.
stand up again and sing the first verse of this song, He Set Me Free. And then we'll have a time of fellowship in case you miss somebody. No? All right. First verse.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free, and He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see, for glory to God, He set me free.
All right, you know, mix it up. Thank you, choir. Sing that third verse, and then we're going to sing a chorus of the family of God. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free, and He broke. Brother Richard, he used to have sing choruses for the offering. I thought we might put that in this week. Let's sing the chorus of I'm So Glad to Be Part of the Family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed by the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel. Part of this family. Praise the Lord. Brother Matt.
We thank the Lord for the opportunity to give this morning. Amen. Brother Josh, will you pray over the offering, brother?
Dear Lord in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything they've done for us. Please be with Brother Jeff. Give him the words to speak. Save anyone here that's lost. Please be with the offering. Bless it. Use it for your needs. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
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 Family, you can come and get set up. You've seen these here, and they're not going to do a lot of good if we just leave them there. So I found what I can do is get a couple pieces of tape and put it on the correct side. You can stick this up in your back window in your car or your truck, and you can do a little advertising. Well, now, all the way from Chattanooga, Tennessee, the amazing and glorious Singing Oar family.
Stays.
was gonna change. There I met a man who told of living water. He said that I could drink and never thirst again. You'll be forever changed. He is waiting for you at the well. He knows who you are and just what you need. Lord,
give me a drink of that water, of the living water. Let it flow.
If they don't light your fire, your matches are wet, I guess, man. Put something in your soul right there. Remember who I was, amen. Appreciate Brother Jeff, the missionary he is, the man of God he is, blessing he is to my heart. And our class took him on just recently in the auditorium class, and he's going to be conducting our vacation Bible school next week, June 15th through the 19th. I'm sure he'll say a little bit about that, say a little bit more about it after he preaches. I appreciate the militant way he operates and very attention to detail. I don't know too many other missionaries that are attention to detail as he is. Appreciate him updating us, and the blessing is to our church. Brother Jeff, you come preach for us.
Talking about. Hey, how are you this morning? Oh, hey, man, that's some good singing for sure. The Orr family from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I like that. That's pretty good. Listen, we're going to go through the book of Ruth. You're going like, preacher, we just were in the book of Ruth last month. Our pastor, if you were attending, went through the book of Ruth through Sunday nights and things like that. But there were some things that when I got to studying the book of Ruth again that the Lord nudged my heart for Well, just for us today. And I want you to see the title, which is The Reward of a Good Name. There is a reward of a good name. I want to say, first of all, this morning, thank you for all the good music. Thank you for Brother Dan filling in and in places and things like that. I want to just thank the church for everything it does and stands for. Sincerely, it's a good church. If you don't have a church family that you're attending, we don't want to take you away from your church, but we sure would love for you to be here if you don't have a church to attend. So please come by if you're online, you're watching. Come by and then join us here and just see for yourself and listen to the good choir and the good preaching and teachings that we have at the church. I also want to say thank you for all you who prayed for the transition of my father-in-law. We moved him here up in Cleveland this last Friday. We were in vacation Bible school all week last week in Bristol. I made a couple of trips with some furniture and things like that. And then on Friday, we brought him into the Cleveland area. And Beverly now has, she picked up something from vacation Bible school that she shouldn't have picked up. It was a Tommy bug. And it has extended its life in my precious wife. So just pray for her. Maybe she can be attending tonight. She's doing better today. But may I say this? You know what a tummy bug is. It was not pretty at our house. Amen. So if you'd pray for her, I'd appreciate that. If you will, turn with me into the book of Ruth. And let us see what God would have for us this morning in the book of Ruth. If you don't mind, stand with me for the reading of God's word. We're going to go through most of the book of Ruth, but I'm going to stop at certain points. No, you're not going to have to stand while I read it all. Amen. Some of you are already looking at me like, what? No, here we go. Chapter 1, verse number 1 in Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. For those of you who read your Bible and you're scholars of the Bible, you'll know that certain times in our lives, there are dry spells. Certain times in our life, there's a famine. Certain times, even in Cleveland and Chattanooga, there's no rain. Amen. But what I mean by that is sometimes we don't have in our lives the rain, the blessing of rain in our own personal lives. But what I want you to see is this, there was a famine in the land. It says, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now, this was not a country. He's coming from Israel. He's coming from where he's supposed to be. His home was at. Where the promises of God were at. But there was a famine. He wanted to protect his family, wanted to help his family, and he felt like he needed to move. Now look what happened. So he went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the blessings. Father, may I hear from heaven. May the words coming out of my mouth be pleasing in thy sight, because if that's so, all is well. Father, we have those that are in the hospital. We have those that are sick at home. Father, we have those that are here that are not feeling well. And Father, we have those that just need a touch from heaven. Yes. I ask you, dear God, that you would have your way through the service. The Holy Spirit of God would touch hearts, that open minds, that they would be able to see the Scriptures clearly. It is a spiritual book, and we do have a spiritual side to us. Lord, our bodies, sometimes they grow tired. Sometimes our bodies have diseases, but we have a spirit and a soul that will live forever somewhere, either in heaven or, the Bible tells us, in a place called hell. Father, I ask you, please, you help us today, because we need help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What I want you to understand about this and about the book of Ruth, as we go through, there's some steps. Whenever you read the Bible, whenever you study the Bible, and you look at how things come into the Bible, what I mean by that is there's a certain order. God makes no mistakes. When you see something come into the Bible Scriptures, you need to make notice of how they come in. What is it that comes first? What is it that comes second? What is it that comes third or fourth, and so forth and so on? And the order that God has, it's very important that you and I understand God makes no mistakes. God makes no happenstance. God makes no guesses. When God's word says something and it says it in an order, we need to pay attention and apply that to our lives. Here's what I want you to see in this scripture. Here we are in a famine. There is a famine that hit the land. It was not an easy thing. The crops were drying up and there was not much food. There was problems in the land. No doubt there was thievery. There was stealing. No doubt there was, honestly, people that were angry, even angry at God because of the dry land. There's been times that in each one of our lives, if we would honestly be open about it, that we have even blamed God ourselves over a few things in our lifetime. There's been times in my own personal life I did not understand. There's been times in my personal life I looked to heaven and I said, dear God, why is this happening? There's many of you sitting here in the same conditions over the years that you have maybe said, I just don't understand. I go to church, I tithe, I do what God says, I read my Bible, and still a famine comes in my life. This life is not guaranteed of blessings. This life that we live is a cursed life. Adam and Eve were the first to sin, and what happened? It brought a curse of death upon this earth. We were born into sin, and thorns and thistles and things that hurt and disease and these type of things. And sin, it brings forth death. Death is not kind. Death does not make comfort. Death is hard. And what I want you to understand, sickness to go along with it. But there's been times that you need to understand God put a curse upon sin on this earth. But praise God, one day there will not be a curse. Praise God, one day we'll meet our Savior. Praise God, one day. If you have ever asked God to save your soul, what does that mean? That means you realize at one point in time in your life you were not good enough to go to heaven on your own. I didn't say you were a bad person, because if you see the title, it says the reward of a good name. Just because you're a good person doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because that you do good things doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you have a good family or a good family name does not usher you automatically into heaven. What matters is the relationship of your Creator between you and God. Amen. Have you ever, I ask you again this question, and I'll ask you again in a little while, have you ever personally prayed and asked God to forgive your sinfulness, to forgive your evil way? You say, Brother Jeff, what do you mean my evil way? We were born into sin. And sin is against God. And anything against God is an evil way. I didn't say that you were a demon. I didn't say that you were evil. I didn't say any of these type of things. But I know in our hearts there are things that should not be there. Every day that we hear something and we see something or we experience something, you're going to have some thoughts. You're going to have some of that evilness that brews in you. Sometimes our families will do things against us. Sometimes our neighbors will do things against us. And if you're not careful, you've got these evil things that you would like to do when they're asleep. Amen. You'd like to maybe do something to their mailbox or something. I'm just telling you right now, that is not godly. Right. So what I want you to understand is this. Sometimes it's church hurt. Yeah. Sometimes it's family hurt. Sometimes it's a spouse hurt. Sometimes we just get hurt because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Yeah. Or we didn't get our way. What I want you to see in this scripture is this. There was this famine. It was not comfortable where they were living. And the head of the house made a decision. I do not know if this was an emotional decision. I do not know if this was a logistical decision. I do not know if this was exactly what God wanted them to do, but the scriptures seem to prove otherwise. We'll see that in a minute. What I mean to tell you is this. In our lives, there are decisions that need to be made. In our lives, there are points and times in our lives where it gets uncomfortable in our seat. Sometimes things do not go our way. Sometimes we want to move. Sometimes we want to get away. Sometimes we want to change our situation and change our circumstance. Can I show you something? Over the years, I've got a few years on me, and I've watched over the years is this. Not every decision is a good decision. If you do not pray and you ask God, if you do not seek wisdom through the scriptures, what do you mean, Brother Jeff? Are you basing your decisions on emotions? Well, it just felt like the right decision at the time. Can I show you what I mean by feeling right? Emotions change. Emotions will deceive you and me. Emotions will change with the weather. Emotions will change when you have a tummy bug. Emotions will change whenever you see something pleasant, or if you get a big ice cream, things just change. But sometimes your ice cream just melts and drips over everything. What do you mean, Brother Jeff? Not every situation we need to run from. Beverly got cancer a few years ago. And when she had colon cancer, listen to me, yeah, we were going great in the ministry. We were going great. The school ministry here in the United States was starting to take off, even where they said it couldn't be done. And people laughed at us, and people scoffed at me. And people, even the churches were saying, this can't be done. They even called me a liar, saying I was going to school when I wasn't going to school. I said, just come with me, and let me show you how to get the Bible back into the classrooms legally. You know, not getting sued is a good thing. And so when they would go, they would be amazed. And so what I'm telling you is it was amazing watching God get the Word of God back into the classrooms and the character, the morals, and the ethics from the Word of God. Then my wife got cancer. Ministry was going good. Teachers were getting saved. Children were getting saved. Homes were being put back together through the teachings of the Word of God. It was amazing. They were taking the lessons home, the teachers and the students, and the families were being put back together. Then my wife gets cancer. I did not understand. I said, "Dear God, I do not understand. Why does Beverly have the cancer?" Beverly at that time was uninsurable. She had other things that was in her life, and she could not, we could not pay for the, well, she, they just wouldn't insure. 10 different insurance companies turned her down. I had insurance, and my son had insurance. And I said, "Dear God," I was walking, and Beverly was in bad shape, and the chemo like to have killed her 4 times, and I that's not a light thing. There was 4 times she had adverse reactions to the cancer. She got over the surgery, but the chemo like to have killed her. It changed and has still changed a lot of things in that woman's life. But can I show you something? I couldn't understand why God would allow this. Why did you stop us, dear God? Things were going great. You were blessing, and everything was going real good. Dear God, why would you give this? And it was stopped. I stayed home for 6 months, actually 8, to be able to take care of my wife. She could not take care of herself. I had the honor of taking care of my wife. I know what caregiver is, and watching your loved ones suffer. I understand these things. God was putting me through school that I didn't know. Reward of a good name. Let me show you this. So here is Beverly, and here she is, and we got honestly like $180,000 medical bill I could not pay. They set up payments. Listen to me. They set up payments of $695 a month. That was above and beyond each month's budget. I was in a mess. The family was in a mess. I was in financial ruin. I was going down quick. My wife was sick. The ministry had stopped. I didn't understand. I thought about selling the car, selling the house. I tried to do that. I tried renting my son out. He was really good on computers. Amen. But God said, "Stand still." God said no. So how do you know when God says stand still? I was out praying one morning. I was walking, and I can take you right now to the very place. In my mind, I can still see the clouds in the sky. When I looked up to God, I can tell you in the exact spot where He and I were talking. And I said, "Dear God, I don't understand. Why are you stopping all this? Have I done something?" Listen, do you understand when you're in a mess, when you're in a storm, that you'll confess everything that you've ever done in your entire life, and then you'll make up things that you never did just in case? Amen. I'm just like you. But God stepped in and He said, "Stand still." God said, I looked to God and I said, "Why didn't you give me the cancer? Why didn't you give my son the cancer? We have insurance." And as clear in my heart as it could be, God answered my prayer right then and there on that side of the road. And He said, "I don't need your insurance money." He put that thought in my heart. He put that thought in my mind. "I don't need your insurance money." He said, "Son, I need you to trust me." As I tell you this story, and it is what our family lived through, there's been many other times that God has had to tell me to stand still. Brother Louis, as many years as you've lived, and I praise God that, wow, you're still going strong, son. You're one of my heroes. I mean that. And what I mean by that is you've seen life. You've understood some things. I've seen you go through some things. And sometimes you just have to stay where you're at. Emotions say we want to move. Emotions say we got to move. Emotions say we got to change. Emotions say we don't understand, so I'm leaving everything. Can I show you something? Sometimes you just got to stand still. You see, God was trying to teach me and my wife. He didn't need our outside help. He didn't need the insurance money. God was trying to teach me and my wife just to trust Him. You see, years later, when I'm in Africa that I did not know where I was going to be in Africa. Now I'm sending containers filled with hundreds of thousands of dollars of material. And when God tells me to send something somewhere, He said, I need you to trust me. I was there for you. I pulled you out of financial ruin. I pulled you out of the horrible pit you were in. I pulled you out of the disease. I pulled you out of the heartache. And I'm still going to pull you out. I just need you to trust me. And when I tell you to do something, then you do it.
Amen.
I don't need you to question me. I need you to obey me. God said, I love you, but I'm trying to teach you. Watch this. I will not criticize Elimelech. It was his choice to provide for his family. But I've got to ask you this question. Have you actually prayed and asked God for the decision that you're needing to make? Have you actually read and studied the Bible for any situation that is recorded in the Bible that will fit your situation? Have you actually asked your pastor? Have you asked your deacon? Have you asked someone that you can trust with the Bible? Have you actually looked in the Word of God for the answers for the situation you're in? It's in there. How does God want you to react? Watch this. I read to you in chapter number 1. If you'll look again in chapter 1, verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She knew in her heart, you can tell she knew, they really wasn't supposed to be in that foreign land. They really shouldn't have moved. But she obeyed her husband. She did what her husband said do. But you know what? Sometimes you second guess. Sometimes, but down in the pit of your stomach, sometimes you know you really shouldn't do certain things. Now watch this. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughter-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. She said, go back. Go back to your families. I've got nothing to offer you. I've got nothing in the future. Here you can see some of the desperation of Naomi. She's now to the point she is just low. She's full of depression. Now watch this. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and me. If you underline your Bible, I want you to see that phrase. It jumped out at me as I'm looking at the value of a good name. Look what it says. It starts with respect. You want to have a good name? You want to have a good name in your life? You want to have a good name for your family? You want to have a good name in the community? You want to have a good name in the church? You want to have a good name with your neighbors? It starts with respect. How do you get that, Brother Jeff? Look what it says in verse 8 again. Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. And here's what she said. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Her two daughter-in-laws were still by her side. And can I show you, that's why we need to go to funeral homes. We show our respect. We show a respect to the family. You say, well, I don't know everybody there. You go for the people. You don't go for the person who died. You just don't do that. They're already gone somewhere. They're not there. That's the shell. That's the body. The ones that remain are the ones that need the honor and the respect. And we need to come as neighbors. We need to come together as a community. And the church family needs to come together when we have someone that's here before us or at the funeral home. And we need to go pay our respects. There was a dear family, a dear friend of the family for years and years, my mama and my daddy's friends. And there's been others that have passed. And I hardly even knew anybody but that one person that had died. And they were there in the casket. Can I show you this? I still went. You know why? Because I wanted to show honor and respect to what that person meant to my mama and my daddy. You see, we're a social people. And we need each other. Look at me. We're a social people and we need each other. COVID in 2020, COVID damaged that a lot. And what you have coming out of that, where we were isolated and people were isolated, some people have forgotten what respect is. Some people have forgotten what it means to make a sacrifice for others. Some people have just been self-absorbed. And what I want you to see is these women did not. They gave respect to the dead and to the living. So there's great respect right here. Look at verse number 9. The Lord grant you that he may find that you may find rest, and each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice. Orpah said that she wanted to go back, but Ruth said, no, I'm going to stay. Look at verse 14. And they lift up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Can I show you something about the character of Naomi? She did her family, her in-laws, right. She did her in-laws correct. She loved her daughter-in-laws. There's an obvious thing here. Respect has respect. When you respect someone, you get respect back. And can I show you something? That's like a smile. When you give a smile, you get a smile back. But if you're a grouch, and you grouch at everybody, don't expect a smile. You're going to get grouched at, amen. What I want you to see is, this is part of life. We have so many in our lifetime right now forgotten how to respect even strangers. This word of respect goes a long way. Courtesy and respect and kindness. But look what happened in verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You understand, not everybody believes the same way you and I do. But can I show you something about Naomi? Naomi had the God. No matter if she was where she was supposed to be in the center of God's will, or if she was away in Moab, can I show you something? That God that dwelt in her heart, that God that was the supreme God, the God, the only God, put to shame all other gods. You know how? She had respect to her daughter-in-laws. She knew how to live, and she had the word of God in her. It shows out. Watch this. So now, let's look what happened in verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. Look at this. The city was moved about them. Now look what happened next. And they said, is this Naomi? The city heard they were coming. And when they went in the gates of the city, the people, it's been 10 years or more now. And when I say this, I mean no harm, but I want you to understand, sin changes your countenance. Sin changes your appearance. I'm not saying that Naomi was a sinful woman, but she was around it. She was in Moab. She was not where God's people were at. And her husband had died, and that was a horrible thing. And then her two sons had died, and the area of her life, it took a toll. She was in a foreign land. They were in strange gods. They were in strange worship. They were in strange customs. And it took its toll. Look what it says again in verse number 19. It says that the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" They couldn't believe the change in her outward appearance. It wasn't that she was fat. It wasn't that she was skinny. It wasn't anything except this. It was a tough, hard life that marred her appearance. Why do I say that? Look at the next verse. She says it herself. And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me." She herself says, "Call me Mara." That's bitterness. That's bitter waters. And she says, "For the Almighty," her testimony, she knew she wasn't supposed to be there. "The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Can I show you something in this? You may be in a place you shouldn't be. You may be around people you shouldn't be around. You may be trying to get your approval on the social platforms. Can I show you this? You're going like, "Oh, he's going to talk about social platforms." Listen to me. Coming out of COVID, that's all we had. And the people that relied on social platforms. That's why we kept trying to come to church. We'd line up out here. We wouldn't come into church. We'd sit in our cars. And instead of saying amen, we'd beep our horn. Amen. We drove the neighbors crazy with amen and in the horns. Hey, amen. Amen. Can I show you why we need to do that? We're a social people. We are not meant to be isolated. We are not supposed to be by ourselves. When depression comes, that's what people want to do. I know what depression is. A lot of you know what depression is. And the first thing you want to do is start backing off from people. You want to just back off. You want to pull the shades. I've seen people that will not open the front door and let the sun shine in. They will not open their drapes or open their blinds or let the sun shine in. They will not go outside. You know why? They don't care. Why? That's what depression does. When we turned to social media, because that's all we had, then all of a sudden it became an addiction. It became an addiction, and what happens is people forgot how to interact. Now I go to the marketplaces and I find young people. I'm in the schools. I try to talk to young people, and they don't know how to carry on a conversation. And the thing that is so troublesome is with the platforming, with all the social media, there's no respect. You see, when you're looking at somebody in the face, when you're talking with somebody, you choose your words carefully. But when there's no object in front of you, that's only a something or someone out there, and you try to make yourself to be a pleasing to them so you get more likes or more thumbs, more hearts, and you want the more for you to be socially accepted, that's not the way we're supposed to be. We've forgotten how to respect each other. You say, "Brother Jeff, you tell us all this. What's the answer?" You have to limit your time. You have to have a balanced life. I didn't say you give up your social platforming. That's part of your life. But what I am telling you is this. If you actually look at how many hours a day that you're on your social platform, you need to cut some things back and make it life, people. You need to come to church. You need to be a family. You need to go out for a walk. When's the last time that you looked up at the stars at night? When's the last time you took the time just to look around at God's creation? When's the last time you quit complaining because of this or because of that? Well, I don't like the bugs out there. I don't want to go outside. When's the last time that you even went out and you looked at your husband or your wife and said, honey, can we go take us a walk? When's the last time? Well, I don't want to hold hands with my honey. Well, there's something wrong there. Get it fixed. Amen. Right. When's the last time that you said to yourself, you know, I don't want to eat alone anymore. I'm going to go to church and ask somebody to take me out to dinner. Amen. Yeah. You say, take you out. Yeah, just ask them. Most of the times they'll say yes. Amen. Yeah. You say, Brother Jeff, are you serious? Yeah. If you need to go with someone, you look them in the eyes and say, hey, let's go get something to eat. Good. Or maybe, do you have any squash or tomatoes? I ain't got none. Amen. I do. I need to give some away. Look for somebody that you can invest in. Look at someone you can talk with. Good. Look at someone that you can honestly spend more time than you do with social media. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. So we looked at the respect. Now watch this. In chapter 2, we find out that Naomi, chapter 2, verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Now, this is important. In the Old Testament, in the old ways, when they cut down the wheat, they cut down the barley, they were to leave the corners of the field for the poor. And the poor would go in and glean for themselves. There's also a law that when they put their sheaves, they come in, they grab a bundle, they take a sickle, they cut the bottom of it, they bind it. That's a sheave that would be sitting there. So then at the end of the day, they'd come back and then they would collect the sheaves. Now, that's very important for you and I to understand. She didn't know where she's going. The Bible tells us a little bit right here about Boaz. But she didn't know where she's going. Her mother-in-law didn't know where she's going. But look what it says. This is about respect. Look what it says. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She didn't just go up and start taking and taking and taking and taking. She didn't just go up and start reaping and reaping and reaping where she had not sowed anything. She went and she asked, can I glean in your field? Will you allow me to glean in your field? That's respect. That's respect to the one that owns it. Now watch this. As we go on down, we understand, if you know the scriptures, that Boaz is the one that's going to redeem her and marry her eventually. But let me show you something about Ruth. Look what it says in verse number 12. Chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, the Lord recompense thy work. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see, Boaz gave her a blessing right here. Boaz told her, God will bless you under whose wings you have come to trust. She was not an Israelite. She was an outsider. She said, I saw something in the testimony of my mother-in-law. I saw something in the respect and love in her heart from the God that she serves. She said, I'm casting away all my Moabite gods, and I'm going to follow the God that she served. Now, she did not know all the customs. She did not know all the sacrifices. She did not know all the festivals. But she knew this. She knew that she was on the right path, going to the country and going to the place that the God of all creation was at. That's why the house of God is so important. Look what it says next. Verse 14, it came mealtime. And Boaz said to her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. This is the man of the field. This is the man whom she asked the workers, can she glean? She did it the right way. She did it the respectful way. Look what happened. So now the man of the owner of the field, Boaz, he says, come hither. You know what that means? Come here. Amen. Now watch. I have to stay up for y'all are like so out there. Come here. Reach in here. Y'all know what mayonnaise is, right? Mayonnaise, there's a lot of people in here. Amen. It's my redneck coming out. Okay, so watch. Look what it says. Come hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. Now look, and he, that's Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. If you're not careful, you'll think that she ate and ran. That's not what that means. Read the rest of the Bible. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you're not careful, you think she ate and she left. But watch this. Remember, she's a respectful person. Look what it says. Let me read it again. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. Now look what it says. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So go back to verse number 14. That little part, she did eat and was sufficed and left. That means she had leftover. And you know what she did with it? She was remembering somebody else. The second part that I found in the book of Ruth, first part for an honorable, for a good name, is respect. The second part I see right here is remembering others. She remembered her mother-in-law. She remembered. Look, let me show you something else that she did. Look at verse number 16. Excuse me. Verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until even. And look at this little phrase. And she beat out. She beat out. She had been in the field all day. It was hot. Her hands were scraped and sore from reaching down and picking up the little bits that was left over. And she was honestly hot and tired all day long, sun up to sun down. And you know what she did before she went home? She took the time to beat out, bust open the shucks, bust open that kernel, and get the wheat, the barley out of it. Say, what's that important? Well, you and I will probably be going, well, my mother-in-law is sitting back at the house, and she's sitting back there watching TV, and bless God, I'll tell you one thing, she can beat out her own. Amen. She ain't done nothing all day. I'm out here sweating. I'm out here laboring, and I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll bring it to her, but she's going to have to do her own. Are you listening? Sometimes you and I get that attitude. Aren't you glad God doesn't do us that way? Boy, I'm thankful for that in my life. Look what she did. She remembered. And she beat out, in verse 17, she beat out that she had gleaned. Now watch this. Next comes the reward. And this is where we end. We found for an honorable name. It takes respect. we found right here. It takes remembering others. You get the respect, you get the remembrance, and now you get the reward. It's the way the Bible has it. It says she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah is the old-timey measurement, and that ephah was 1/10 of an omer. You say, I don't know these terms. I had to look them up too. It's Bible terms of the old times, but here's what it means. An omer, all this ephah was about a bushel basket. That is like huge. A bushel basket of grain. What's that mean, preacher? Well, if you look back in the Old Testament when the Israelites were fleeing from Egypt and Moses was bringing them out, they received an omer each morning of manna. An omer is about 10 times. This omer in a bushel, that's about 10 times what they needed. You say, well, you mean what they needed. An omer was your daily allotment. But Boaz, because of the respect and because of the remembrance, God moved in the heart of Boaz, moved in the heart of the people that she was around, and God gave them 10 times more than they needed. Why 10 times? Because there was two of them, 5 days a week. What did they do the other two? They're still gleaning. So what I want you to understand is see this. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. This is Boaz speaking. You have the respect we have already examined. We have the remembrance that we were looking at. And now you saw the reward, and this is for a reward of a good name. Here's what it says. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness, look at that, in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. You know what she did? She stayed where she stayed where the blessings were at. She stayed where she was told. Her mother-in-law told her, don't let them catch you in another field. You see, that's respect. That's respect to the person that has told you, I'm going to share with you. You don't need to be hopping around here, there, and everything, trying to collect everything you can. Sometimes enough is enough. You got to look at yourself. How much is enough? And lastly, it says this in verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Look what it says. Look what it says. For all the city of my people doeth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The respect, the remembering, the reward. Everybody can see it. If you're here and you've never asked God to save your soul, mostly what you're going to have showing forth is not godly. I didn't say he's a bad person, but people can tell. If you're one here that you're eat up with depression, my prayer is that you find relief, but don't shut people out. Come to church. Be with one another. Get outside. Get into the sunlight. And remember others besides yourself. If you've never asked God to save your soul, I beg you, during this invitation time, just ask God from your heart, through your mind, the best way you can. Ask Him to save your soul. Forgive your sin. Every one of us, we were born in sin. So if God's moved your heart and you want a good name in heaven, you want a good name before God, it's got to start with respect of His Son's sacrifice. It's got to be with a remembrance of what Jesus did to pay all sin for you and me. And then you call upon God, you get the reward of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, yes, shall be saved. Let us stand, bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings. And Father, we thank you for putting up with us. Thank you, dear God, that we can have a good name through you. We can have a good name because of what you have done. And dear God, help us to help each other. When we see somebody that's struggling, may we go to them, dear God, and give them a smile. Lord, maybe just give them a little card. Lift them up, dear God. Maybe someone just needs to go out and get some socializing in a restaurant after a church or before church. Or Lord, maybe just invite them over to the house. Lord, I ask you, please help us that we realize we are nothing without you. And Father, there's a decision that needs to be made. I need that good name in heaven. Father, I'm asking you for that person or those persons that have never called upon your name right now, that they would do so during this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Search me.